news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's official. Joe Biden is the Democratic nominee for president. As night two of the Democratic National Convention took care of the formalities with an interesting and well-received roll call. More on that in a moment. But first, the Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday released its final report on Russian election interference. It clearly shows that there was Russian interference in the 2016 elections and how the Trump campaign welcomed a foreign adversary's help, going much further than the Mueller report. At this point, I should note that this is a bipartisan report, and the Senate is controlled by Republicans. Marco Rubio is currently the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, so we could call it the Rubio Report. New York Times' Mark Mazzetti and Nicholas Fandos wrote that it, quote, laid out an extensive web of contacts between Trump campaign advisors and Russian government officials and other Russians, including some with ties to the country's intelligence services. A few of the takeaways in the almost 1,000-page-long report. One, that then-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort was working with a Russian intelligence officer and sought to share internal campaign information with Konstantin Kilimnik. The committee says it obtained, quote, some information suggesting Kilimnik may have been connected to Russia's 2016 hacking operation and concludes that Manafort's role on the campaign, quote, represented a grave counterintelligence threat. Point two, that Donald Trump and senior campaign officials sought to obtain advance information on WikiLeaks email dumps through Roger Stone, and that Donald Trump spoke to Roger Stone about WikiLeaks despite the president telling the special counsel in written answers that he had, quote, no recollections that they had spoken about it. And number three, that information offered at that June 2016 Trump Tower meeting was, quote, part of a broader influence operation from the Russian government. Yeah, two of the Russians who met with Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and Paul Manafort had, quote, significant connections to the Russian government, including Russian intelligence, and that Russian lawyer Natalia Vetselnitskaya's ties were far more extensive and concerning than what had been publicly known. The big question now is what the Democrats do about it. Stay tuned. Now, on to our virtual convention. Night two of the Democratic National Convention served to officially nominate Joe Biden as the Democratic nominee for the presidency. To open the night, a montage of 17 newly elected Democrats, including state representatives and senators, U.S. representatives, mayors, and even Florida's agricultural commissioner, explaining why they ran and why Joe Biden should be our 46th president. These 17 young elected officials were combined into this single montage of short sound bites strung together through video editing for Tuesday night's keynote speech.
We'll bring down the cost of healthcare and prescription drugs too, giving tax credits to working families and allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices.
That's a big effing deal.
That's a big effing deal.
The video ended with Stacey Abrams, who we should note did not win her 2018 race, but was reportedly on the shortlist for Biden's vice presidential pick, saying, "We know Joe Biden. America, we need Joe Biden." The first official speaker of night two was former acting attorney general Sally Yates. She was there at the beginning of the Trump administration. Yates opened by saying,
"I'm Sally Yates. Speaking at a political convention is something I never expected to be doing, but the future of our democracy is at stake. I served as Deputy Attorney General in the Obama-Biden administration and stayed on as Acting Attorney General for the Trump transition. Then, 10 days in, I was fired for refusing to defend President Trump's shameful and unlawful Muslim travel ban. That was the start of his relentless attacks on our democratic institutions and countless dedicated public servants. Like me, these officials didn't swear an oath to a person or a party. Public servants promised to defend our Constitution, uphold our laws, and work on behalf of the American people. But from the moment President Trump took office, he's used his position to benefit himself rather than our country. He's trampled the rule of law, trying to weaponize our Justice Department to attack his enemies and protect his friends. Rather than standing up to Vladimir Putin, he fawns over a dictator who is still trying to interfere in our elections.
So Tuesday night at the convention relied heavily on the past. Former President John F. Kennedy's daughter, Caroline Kennedy, appearing with her now grown son, explained, "I've admired Joe Biden since I was a Senate intern in 1974. Former President Jimmy Carter and First Lady Rosalynn Carter gave remarks. And then it was Bill Clinton's time. The former president, who has spoken at every Democratic convention since 1980, talked about Trump's response to the pandemic.
When asked about the surge in deaths, he shrugged and said, it is what it is. But did it have to be this way? No. COVID hit us much harder than it had to. We have just 4% of the world's population, 25% of the world's COVID cases. Our unemployment rate is more than twice as high as South Korea's, 2.5 times the United Kingdom's, more than 3 times Japan's. Donald Trump says we're leading the world. Well, we are the only major industrial economy to have its unemployment rate tripled. At a time like this, the Oval Office should be a command center. Instead, it's a storm center. There's only chaos. Just one thing never changes: his determination to deny responsibility and shift the blame. The buck never stops there. Now you have to decide whether to renew his contract or hire someone else. If you want a president who defines the job as spending hours a day watching TV and zapping people on social media, he's your man. Denying, distracting, and demeaning works great if you're trying to entertain or inflame. But in a real crisis, it collapses like a house of cards. COVID just doesn't respond to any of that.
And he shocked us by showing that he can keep his remarks brief. Former Secretary of State under Obama Biden, John Kerry, appeared, and so did former Secretary of State under George W. Bush, Colin Powell, as more Republicans jumped on the virtual convention floor to pledge their support for the Democrats in the race. Following convention procedure, Tom Perez, the chair of the DNC, introduced 2 speakers to nominate Bernie Sanders and 3 to nominate Joe Biden prior to the roll call of the states. Nominating Sanders was Bob King, former president of the United Auto Workers Union. The role of seconding Bernie's nomination was given to Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Much had been made in the last few days of the fact that she was allotted only 60 seconds to speak, though until she began, few of us knew that she had been relegated to this task. AOC used the minute she was given to celebrate a, quote, mass people's movement that was striving to recognize and repair the wounds of racial injustice, colonization, misogyny, and homophobia.
Good evening, bienvenidos, and thank you to everyone here today endeavoring towards a better, more just future for our country and our world. In fidelity and gratitude to a mass people's movement working to establish 21st century social, economic, and human rights, including guaranteed health care, higher education, living wages, and labor rights for all people in the United States. A movement striving to recognize and repair the wounds of racial injustice, colonization, misogyny, and homophobia, and to propose and build reimagined systems of immigration and foreign policy that turn away from the violence and xenophobia of our past. A movement that realizes the unsustainable brutality of an economy that rewards explosive inequalities of wealth for the few at the expense of long-term stability for the many, and who organized a historic grassroots campaign to reclaim our democracy. In a time when millions of people in the United States are looking for deep, systemic solutions to our crises of mass evictions, unemployment, and lack of health care, in el espíritu del pueblo and out of a love for all people, I hereby second the nomination of Senator Bernard Sanders of Vermont for President of the United States of America.
At the very end of what turned out to be a 90-second clip, she formally seconded Bernie's nomination. Almost immediately following her remarks, some confusion broke out about the logistics, which AOC clarified with a tweet. If you are confused, no worries. Convention rules require roll call and nominations for every candidate that passes the delegate threshold. I was asked to second the nomination for Senator Sanders for roll call. I extend my deepest congratulations to Joe Biden. Let's go win in November. I'll spare you the ugliness of some of the comments directed at her, ostensibly from fellow Democrats. A key fixture in any political convention is the roll call for states to officially pledge their delegates. It's usually corny, time-consuming, and often ridiculous. But in our new virtual reality of COVID quarantine, the call of the states, featuring videos of delegates from all 57 states and territories, each giving a short introduction before announcing the final vote counts, was not only well-received, but actually quite charming and compelling. Biden's home state of Delaware originally skipped their turn, but they got to go last to give their 32 votes to Joe Biden, bringing the tally over the top and awarding him the nomination. So I thought that the DNC got all the Republicans out of the way on night one, but I was mistaken. On night two, we not only got Colin Powell, but the widow of the 2012 Republican nominee, Cindy McCain, was featured in a video about the Joe Biden-John McCain bromance. All right. The evening ended with Dr. Jill Biden, who told the emotional backstory of how she fell in love with a man and his two young boys who had endured unimaginable loss, and proved that we'll once again have a first lady of whom the country can truly be proud. As for Wednesday's night number three, we'll hear from Senator Elizabeth Warren, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, Gabby Giffords, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, the vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris, and former President Barack Obama. No word on any Republicans as of yet. And finally, if you had any doubts about whether or not protesting and speaking up helps, hear this. Louis DeJoy, the major donor rewarded by Donald Trump with his new job of Postmaster General, announced on Tuesday that he'd immediately halt all the changes he's been implementing at the Postal Service, you know, like removing mail collection boxes and trashing mail sorting machines, until after the November elections. The hearings on his actions will proceed, however, before a Senate subcommittee on Friday and the House Oversight Committee on Monday. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.